Good morning here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. I am Matt Jordan here on this Wednesday morning, and a Wednesday in the 7 o'clock hour and the 8 o'clock hour means we talk with the Wildcat Extension District. We've got Jesse and Katie in this morning. How are you? How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. Glad, fair season's not quite over, but we're in the back half of it now. Things are cooling down as far as fairs go.
And I know you've been super busy with fairs as well, and you got the Interstate Fair and Rodeo going on right now as well. So
yeah, the 4-H kids exhibited their items, their inside items, down there on Monday. So if anybody's interested in going down to the Interstate Fairgrounds, their arts and crafts and sewing and woodworking is all on exhibit there in the Rec Center down here in Coffeyville, and that building's open from noon to 8 p.m. if anybody would like to come check it out.
They do some really cool things. Those inside exhibits, I've seen some. I was at the Cherryville Youth Fair, and I was at the Montgomery County 4-H Fair, and the inside exhibits I saw at both of those were incredible.
The projects they do just blow my mind, and I'm a little mad that I never got to do 4-H as a kid, because I feel like there's all these skills that I never had the chance to develop. There was a beehive, like a custom constructed beehive at the Montgomery County Fair, and it had solar panels to power the sensors that track the weight of the beehive, so you could tell when honey was ready for harvesting. And that would have been so cool to work on. Like, I was so impressed by that.
Oh yeah, it's incredible what they can do. So, all right, Jesse, we talked a little bit before. You've got a couple of events to talk about, and then you've got a topic you want to discuss as well.
Yeah, so the Makers Fair is something that the Extension Office is working on for this year. The Makers Fair is basically just arts and crafts and demos by different Extension agents. It's going to be at the Southeast Research and Extension Center in Parsons on September 17th. If you're interested in maybe hosting a booth, you can find more information about that online. Also, Master Gardener training is coming up for this year. So if you are interested in taking the Master Gardener class, it's one Zoom class per week on Thursdays from September to December. You can find more information about that on our website as well. The deadline for signing up for that, if you are interested, is August 26th.
All right. And then you wanted to talk a little bit about, I think you said champion trees, right?
Yeah. So I can't tell you how many times people have called me out to their properties and be like, this might be the biggest tree of this particular species in the state. And I'm like, did you know you can actually compare against other trees in the state? And they're like, no, tell me more. But I was still a little bit surprised when a couple of weeks ago, I got a call from someone who was talking to his friend about a tree in his backyard in Parsons, and his friend is like, this might be a champion tree of this particular species. You should call the Extension Office and see if it is. And so he's like, I have this Osage Orange tree, hedge apple tree, that might be the biggest in the state. And I had to compare it against the current state champion in Emporia. And I'm like, I don't know if it's going to compare to this one, but I can come out and measure it. And sure enough, it seems like, assuming I did all of the measurements right, it is going to be the new state champion Osage Orange tree. It ended up with a circumference of about 22 feet 4 inches, which is 3 feet and 4 inches wider than the current state champion in Emporia, about 60 feet tall and about 83 feet of crown spread. And that kind of describes a little bit about how we determine champion trees. Every state is going to have its own state champion tree program, and then they are all combined using a standardized formula to have the national champion tree of each species. There's three different things that go into a champion tree. The first and most important is going to be the circumference of the tree at 4.5 feet above ground level. Every extra inch of circumference is going to be 1 point in that tree's favor. If the tree forks, it can complicate how you measure the circumference of the tree. If it forks below 4.5 feet, you just take the largest fork's circumference at 4.5 feet. That threw me off when I was measuring the Osage Orange, because it forked below 4.5 feet. you don't take the circumference of all of the forks, you just take a single fork. And originally when I measured it, I took the circumference of all of the forks and it ended up being 27 feet. So the largest fork by itself was 22 feet 4 inches, so still a really sizable fork, but not quite as we thought at first. If it forks above, like slightly at or above 4.5 feet, then you'd have to take the circumference at the thinnest point below 4.5 feet. So that can really be a knock on your potential champion tree, and you gotta look at where it forks. But circumference is the most important of the three measurements. The second is height. Height is pretty tricky to gauge. I have a tool called a clinometer, where you hold it up to your eye 100 feet away from the tree, and then you raise your eye, you raise the clinometer up to the absolute highest point you can see in the tree. And the angle that you hold it up at will tell you approximately how high it is. Clinometers are also tricky too, though, because when you're holding it right at eye level, you also have to look down to measure all of the height below eye level for you at the tree. So that's the measurement where I think I might have had the biggest discrepancy between what it actually is and what I thought it was. So that's probably the biggest wiggle room. But I know for a fact I measured circumference right, and circumference is where the biggest difference between the Emporia tree and the Parsons tree happened. And then the last part of the measurement you have is crown spread. You measure and average from one end of the canopy to the other in two different directions, and then you divide by four. So a tree that does not have a great crown spread is not going to be hurt as much as a tree that's smaller around. In our area, in southeast Kansas, we have four state champion trees. There's an American elm in Savenberg in Bourbon County. And then in our district that I'm responsible for, we currently have three champion trees. There's a shellbark hickory in Altamont in Labette County. There's a water oak on the campus of Pitt State in Crawford County. And then eastern red cedar in rural Wilson County. We have two national champion trees in Kansas, but they are not in our area. There's a cottonwood and a juniper. We used to have this national champion soapberry, but recently they found a soapberry in Hawaii that has more points from that formula. There are quite a few trees that I think might be popular enough to at least we grow enough of them in our area to where the state champion might be in our area. It all kind of depends on, you know, if I'm called out to nominate trees. The American elm, obviously, Bourbon County has the biggest American elm in this state, but elms grow everywhere down here. Very popular street trees, very popular landscape trees, too. Silver maples, also commonly planted. Sweet gum, I think if there's one tree that we have the best chance of winning as far as champion trees go, sweet gum would be it. You only have a circumference of 10 feet 8 inches on the champion sweet gum, 87 feet tall, 94 foot crown spread. So as far as circumference goes, I think there are definitely some sweet gums down here that would be bigger around than the current state champion sweet gum. Black walnut, pecans are popular down here, but the state champion tree is 139 feet tall, so we would have to find a very, very large specimen of a pecan in order to beat the state champion for that. But also pretty much any oak. There's a lot of different species of oaks, and so you would have to make sure that you have the correct species of oak, and this would probably be on me more than on the person calling in to ask if they have a state champion, to make sure that you have the right species when nominating, because oaks can vary quite significantly in their measurements. Some oaks will be much larger than others, for example, bur oaks. But those are some of the trees that I would definitely look into whether or not you might have a state champion, and all you would really do If you wanted to nominate, I would come out and do the measurements with the tools I've got and send in a nomination form to the Kansas Forest Service in Manhattan. They would get someone down in our area to come and confirm the measurements, and then they would add it to the state champion tree program if it did end up being the new state champion. Every state is going to have a little bit of a different process, but that's pretty much the basics for Kansas. I imagine for Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Missouri, since the listener range can get out into those states as well, you would want to talk to your local land-grant university or potentially your local extension office for University of Missouri, University of Arkansas, and Oklahoma State if you wanted to potentially nominate a tree for your respective state champion tree programs.
All right. Well, it something that I didn't know existed until about 10 minutes ago. So it's cool. I'm I guess a little surprised that we have so many in the area and have two national champion trees as well. So
yeah.
And this is just, I mean, it only happens as often as people call someone out to check a tree.
Yep. This is actually my first nomination, the Osage Orange, since I started on the job. The idea is basically to bring attention to important trees. And there's a lot of trees that have historical relevance that aren't, well, I don't know if they're also state champion trees, but bringing attention to A, forests, and B, the importance of trees in landscapes and communities. And so that's kind of the reason why the National Forest Service also helps out with this and has a national champion tree program. It would make sense, being the state tree, that the cottonwood would also be the national champion. But something I honestly didn't know about either until I started on the job and started looking up what kind of trees we have in our area that are the biggest in the state. But yeah, if you do have a tree that you think might compete for this state champion tree program, you can just give our office a call and I can come out and get a look and get the measurements.
All right, awesome. All right, well, we are to the top of the hour, so we will take a break. When we come back in the 8 o'clock hour after Fox News and local news, we'll be joined again by the Extension District to talk more. We'll hear from Katie in the 8 o'clock hour as well. So you're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. 72 degrees currently here, although we'll warm up to the high 90s for the day, but not too bad right now early in the morning here again as you're listening to the Mighty 690. Back here on the Mighty 690 KGGF in the 8 o'clock hour, 74 degrees here in Coffeyville. And of course, on this Wednesday in the 8 o'clock hour, we're rejoined by the Wildcat Extension District. We've got Jesse and Katie this morning. We heard already in the 7 o'clock hour from Jesse talking about champion trees. Now we're going to talk a little 4-H with Katie. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning. Yeah, we've had a busy year here in Montgomery County. As most people know, we have three fairs that happen here in Montgomery County. We kick off the year with the Cherryvale Youth Fair in Cherryvale, and then we move to our 4-H only show, which is our county fair in Independence, Kansas, and now we're down here at Interstate, which is going on this week. So that's a lot of opportunity for kids to exhibit in Montgomery County, which is awesome. Lots of opportunities. I encourage everybody to go down and check out what the kids have down here at Interstate. There is a 4-H only division for inside exhibits that's available for viewing today from noon to 8 p.m. in the Coffeyville Rec Center, where you can go see all the kids' posters, and there's a lot of flowers and horticulture and stuff like that down there. And then the livestock shows are going on all this week, and our kids are also exhibiting at those. So with three county fairs in our county, I think it's extremely important that we thank all the local businesses in Montgomery County, because those fairs don't happen, all three of them do not happen without local business support. So we extremely appreciate everyone that supports the 4-H youth and youth in general in Montgomery County. I always try to tell these businesses, you're so important to us because you are showing our 4-H kids what it takes to make our community what it is and make it successful, because you're showing these kids that you can be entrepreneurs, you can own your own business, you come out, you give support to these great community events that bring the community together, give kids places to go, things to do, opportunities to learn, and without our local businesses, none of that is possible. So really appreciate them. If you're driving around towns, you might see this year we got signs for the majority of our businesses. We haven't been to see everybody yet. I still have a stack of them in the back of my van. So if you're a big 4-H supporter and you haven't received a yard sign from us yet, please know that it's coming. We've just been a little busy with three county fairs. 4-H Council bought these yard signs that say proud 4-H supporter. So if you are a community member driving around town and you see that sign outside a business or inside a business, we gave those to those businesses because they are big supporters of 4-H and none of this would happen without them. And we really appreciate their community support. So, but now that local fairs are over, we're headed to state fair in September. So any of our kiddos that got purples at county fair, which would be our independence fair, have the opportunity to head up to the Kansas State Fair and take their inside exhibits. And then we will have some kids that take livestock as well. Those were nominated earlier in the year. Montgomery County usually has a really good showing at the Kansas State Fair. And something to be proud of up there as well. The Kansas State Fair is September 9th through the 18th. If anybody's looking for a family getaway to get up there and go check things out in Hutchinson, Kansas, all the carnival rides and food and opportunities to see all different kinds of animals. They have a bigger variety up there, llamas and everything else. So if you're looking for a getaway, that's a great opportunity.
So Katie, you mentioned indoor exhibits for the state fair. Does that include things like horticulture exhibits, crop exhibits, food exhibits in particular? Because I imagine that wouldn't necessarily keep all that well between the time when people exhibit at the county fair and the state fair. Display or choose to display horticulture and food stuff at the state fair?
Yes, good question. All that stuff is definitely remade. The nice thing about our county fairs and down here at Interstate is when our kiddos make foods, all of our purples go through a bake sale auction that night. So just like up here at Interstate, Monday night they had their bake sale auction. Businesses and local supporters came in and bought all of our kids' purple food items and got to take a tasty treat home with them. And then the kiddo gets a little bit of money reward for their efforts on that project. And all the other food items just went home with the kiddos. We just keep their ribbons at fair because it's hot. Food spoils. So after they qualify for state fair, getting their purple ribbon, they will remake the same item to take to the Kansas State Fair. Horticulture, it's really hard to remake a tomato this time of year. So they give the kids an option to take a different vegetable. Like if you got a purple on your tomatoes at county fair, something that might be more fallish or still going, like a squash or something like that, the kids can replace that vegetable and take it instead to the Kansas State Fair. And sometimes kids... sometimes they're just done and they don't send anything to the state fair. And I get it. It's a lot to take up there. But we do have a good participation and good showing from the local area. Us 4-H agents usually load up the van and take everything up there for the kiddos. So that helps out too. Not the livestock, just the inside stuff. But that helps a little bit for them. But... I don't know, because the fairs are kind of the end of our 4-H year, so the end of our exhibiting, and after that, we kind of go into our awards banquet, happens in November, But really, before that, we kick off 4-H enrollment in October. So we're talking about all these great exhibits. You know, Jesse talked about the champion trees earlier and going around and helping community members identify trees. You know, those are things that our community members are doing, but also translates into 4-H because we have a forestry project and we can press, the kids press leaves. In fact, if you go down to the Coffeyville Rec Center, you can see two forestry books that are down there, one from a Labette County youth and one from a Montgomery County youth. They've went around their counties. They have pressed leaves in a book and identified trees. So that's a skill that later in life when they're at their house and they think they have a champion tree and they're going to call Jesse and they're going to know exactly what that tree is because they've learned how to identify leaves and trees already through 4-H. It's just those skills are translated into later life. So if you think that that is something that you would like to do in any aspect, I really encourage you to contact your local extension office, and we'll help your kiddos get signed up for 4-H. 4-H is for ages 7 to 18. The catch is you have to be 7 as of January 1, which is a bit weird, but 7 as of January 1 up until you're 18, you can come join us in 4-H. You can participate in all these fairs that we're talking about, all these exhibits, learn some hands-on skills, and do some cool things with us. And we would love to have anybody that would like to join us. 4-H does now have an enrollment fee in Kansas. It's $15 a youth, but we have plenty of opportunities to scholarship that for kids. So I do not want that to be a deterrent for anybody because we have anonymous scholarships and ways of doing that online. So I encourage you to come see us.
Yeah, and as someone who never had the opportunity to do 4-H as a kid, I would definitely recommend trying 4-H out. There's a lot of cool things that people do that I wish I had had the opportunity to do as a kid. So you don't want to look back and say, oh, I had the opportunity, but I didn't. Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to add on that topic.
Well, I'll jump in and push that as well because, you know, a lot of people still tend to, even in today's age, think 4-H, FFA, they think agriculture only. But you can, there's so many things that you can do outside of that help through 4-H. I'm not in radio if I'm not involved in 4-H and FFA because this is what broke me out of my shell and got me good with public speaking. So I always give credit to my background in that doing what I am doing today. So, and I also encourage everyone to get out and check out those inside exhibits that are at the Interstate Fair and Rodeo because there's some really cool stuff from poster boards to things that were arts and crafts that were made to sewing projects and all of that. So definitely encourage people to check that out.
That does bring up a question that I had, Katie. How do the three fairs in Montgomery County differ from each other, and how are they kind of the same?
So we'll start with differences because that's easier, okay? The Cherryville Fair in Cherryville, Kansas, beginning of July, is a free fair, meaning anybody can come to it that's between the ages of 7 to 18. So you don't have to be in 4-H. You could be, you know, any community member that's a youth that is growing vegetables or flowers and wants to take them down and exhibit them and get them judged, some feedback from a judge. Same for livestock. That also means it opens it up to other counties. So you'll get a few Labette County families, a few Oklahoma families, some things like that. So it is a free fair. Then you go to the Independence Fair about a week later. And that is our 4-H fair. So that means that the only kids present at that fair are Montgomery County 4-H members. No open class, no FFA. The Independence is our true county fair where you qualify for the state fair. And then we come down here to Interstate. Interstate is made up of three counties in Kansas and three counties in Oklahoma. And any youth, I think their ages are also 7 to 18. I'm not quite sure on the livestock stuff because I try to hide from that area because I am specifically in charge of inside exhibits. But I do know that Youth from those three counties can exhibit their livestock, and then you come, or six counties, excuse me, can exhibit their livestock. And then you come over to the inside exhibit building where I am, and any youth in 4-H in the six counties can exhibit their 4-H projects in the inside division that I do. So, that's a little bit of the difference. The awesome thing for our kiddos is that's three opportunities with different judges to get different feedback, and three opportunities where your competition is completely different. So you might go from being grand champion at interstate to being a blue, or let's flip that, grand champion at county where it's 4-H only to, you know, a blue at interstate because the competition changed. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's how we learn things. You know, for example, my basketball coach always made us go, you know, play with the boys because that's how you get better, is you up your competition. So I think it's really good for our kids to see the different levels of competition within this county. That's an amazing opportunity, and get feedback from different judges. So, yeah, kind of complicated, but free fair, 4-H fair, interstate fair.
It also sounds like each county is going to be doing something slightly different, because I know in Crawford County we've got open class, whereas in Montgomery County it doesn't sound like open class, at least for the Independence Fair, is really a thing. So that would probably be something to reach out to your local extension agent for, to get more info on that. As far as state fair goes, Kansas is in Hutchinson, right? And I know Oklahoma has two different state fairs. There's the East and the West, and one is in Tulsa
and the other is Oklahoma City. Yeah.
Right. Missouri's is in Sedalia. Do you know where Arkansas State Fair is?
I do not. It wouldn't surprise me if it was in Fayetteville, but I don't know. I could find that out.
We will look that up. But, yeah, so state fairs and county fairs are going to be a little bit different, so definitely reach out to your extension agent if you have any questions about, you know, exhibiting at fairs or champion trees, for example. Getting in touch with your county office is going to be the best way to get answers to those questions.
It's in Little Rock.
Little Rock
okay. is where the
state is. That makes sense, because yeah. Little Rock's way more central than Fayetteville would be.
Yeah, definitely. So if you mentioned open class, they do not do open class at Cherryville because it's a youth fair, at Independence because it's a 4-H only fair, so that fair board's only there to serve 4-H youth. But down here at Coffeyville at Interstate is typically where Montgomery County has an opportunity to exhibit open class. And open class means that any community member of any age, you know, like 3 to 80 or however old you might be, is welcome to bring the same type of exhibits, photography, cooking, sewing, down to be on display. The open class down here at Interstate has been on hold since COVID. Just the ladies that ran that took a break during COVID, and it will come back. It's a slow to come back, but it will. So if you are a community member in Montgomery County that's been waiting on open class to come back, I do believe that is in the works. It's not down there this year. This year's just the 4-H stuff, but I do believe that's in the works for the Interstate Fair.
Awesome. All right. Yeah, well, I encourage anyone to reach out, and if they want more information, get a hold of Katie or your whoever your extension agent is to talk about getting involved in 4-H. So, and that is October statewide?
Correct. Yeah, the state of Kansas enrollment opens in October, and then each county or district, however you want to word that, has a different closing date for enrollment. If you are in Montgomery County or the Wildcat District, your close date is January 31st. So you have from October 1 to January 31st to get enrolled in 4-H Online. If you're a brand new family and have no idea what 4-H Online means, call me at the extension office. I'm happy to walk you through it and get you some paperwork.
Awesome. All right. And Jesse, you talked in the 7 o'clock hour a little bit about some events going on. Just kind of remind people about those that maybe missed them in the 7 o'clock hour.
Yeah. So the Makers Fair is going to be a collaboration between K-State Research and Extension and local businesses, usually in arts and crafts, but there will be a lot of different businesses showing up to the Parsons, the Southeast Kansas Research and Extension Center, on September 17th. There'll be a lot of demos from extension agents, food trucks, vendor tents, things like that. So if you're interested in, you know, arts and crafts or some of the science-related stuff behind extension, that would definitely be something to show up for. Also, Master Gardener training is starting on September 1st. Yeah, September 1st. And that goes once a week on Zoom every Thursday from September 1st to December 15th. So if you are interested in the Master Gardener program and kind of a horticulture crash course, that is also, we are taking signups right now. So signups will close August 26th. So if you do have any more questions about potentially signing up for that, you can give our office a call. My number is the Girard office, which is 620-724-8233, or you can reach me at email at jr637@ksu.edu.
All right, and then we on the champion trees, do you check all over Southeast Kansas, or is there other, I mean, like this area? Because I know you're in Crawford County.
Yeah, I definitely can check. I'd like to stay mostly in Wildcat District, since that is my home district, but I know that in Southwind, Krista Harding is the horticulture agent. She's also the director, so she probably would not be able to come out and check a ton of trees because of how involved the director position is. So things like Neosho County, Southern Woodson County, Southern Bourbon County, I could also come out and check. Maybe Allen County, depending on the day. Cherokee County, I get a lot of horticulture questions from Cherokee County, so I could definitely come out and check too. I haven't really been called out to anything in Rolling Prairie District, which is Chautauqua and Elk counties. So most of my questions actually do come from Wildcat District by default. But that is definitely something I could make, you know, a trip out for. But I would definitely encourage getting online, checking the Kansas Forest Service Champion Tree brochure against the species of tree that you've got to see if your tree would at least be competitive. That is something that I had the benefit of when we checked the Osage Orange. So definitely doing at least a preliminary check on the circumference more than anything would be super helpful before making the trip out to do a wholesale nomination.
All right. Well, thank you guys for stopping in. I know this is a busy time of the year for both of you, so appreciate stopping in, talking everything involving Champion Trees and 4-H as well. So we'll talk to you guys the next time.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
All right. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.